Verse 24 brings us into the early morning hours of Good Friday, when Jesus is being transferred from Annas to his trial before Caiaphas, the high priest. The Word of God in John chapter 18. Now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas, the high priest. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it, and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, Did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early, and they went, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him, and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thy own nation and chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Our text tonight will be verse 37 and the first of verse 38. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? The Reformation 500th anniversary that we're celebrating this month was a return to the truth. Martin Luther referred to it as the Babylonian captivity, that the church had been laid captive and God arose to set her free from captivity and to restore the truth of God, the truth of salvation, the truth of the Bible, the truth of Jesus Christ, to restore the truth, the only truth that men could ever know, God's truth. That truth revealed in Holy Scripture given by God. That truth had been covered over for almost 1,000 years under 10 inches or 10 feet of concrete of man's traditions. That truth had been buried in a landslide of tons of ignorance and unbelief. That truth had been deliberately hidden and concealed under layers of human pride. But God raised up men. God fed these men His Word. And these men uncovered, broke up the concrete of traditions, removed the rubble of man's works, uncovered what was hidden, and revealed again from the Scriptures the wonderful, matchless grace of God in Jesus Christ. They found the truth of God. Our calling as a church and as individuals, as believers and families, is to love that truth. Our calling is to hold fast to that truth. Our calling is to speak that truth in love. Our calling as a congregation, in the words of the apostle, is to be the pillar and the ground of the truth. Our personal calling is to walk in the light of the truth. But what is truth? If we are to speak the truth, if we are to walk in the truth, if we are to love the truth, if as a church we're to be the pillar and ground of the truth, what is the truth? Never has that question been more important than right now in our day. To the world, there is no such thing. In fact, the world prides itself in maintaining that there is no absolute truth. You may be freed from that notion. Everything is truth. The only lie is not to accept everything as equal. The church, afraid of the world, follows along with that and doesn't seem to care at all about the revealed truth of Holy Scripture. Is not willing to stand about the truth of human sexuality, gender, and marriage, let alone all the truths, the foundation truths of Christianity. They too believe that it is far more pious to say, well, to say that we know the truth would be arrogant. It is far more pious to say, well, we're not exactly sure. This is what Pilate said. This is exactly what Pilate cast as a barb, as a rebuttal, as a response to Jesus Christ, who said that He is living to bear witness to God's truth. What is truth? Was his cynical, unbelieving response. Pilate's response was not an honest question, but it was a denunciation. In fact, it was saying to Jesus, you are a fool if you think there is such a thing as truth. It was spoken in the tone of derision and contempt. It was a rebuttal. Jesus had said, I bear witness to the truth. Everyone that is of the truth will hear my voice. Pilate rejects that. You don't have any claim, exclusive claim to truth. You are but a dreamer. Pilate's response was chilling. Because right here, if you look at time as a movie screen moving along, right there we have a snapshot. Right there. We have the snapshot of the world before God, God's truth, and the world rejects the truth. This is exactly the situation today. The spirit of Pilate is alive. He's alive on college campuses. He's alive on Christian college campuses. The spirit of Pilate, what is truth, is alive in the halls of our government, in the courts of our land. It rules the media. It dominates television. It determines and it drives lifestyles, gay, lesbian, marriage. Our society is a society of no truth. No. In reality, our society is the society of anti-truth. Do not believe it. Man, in all of his denunciations of any truth, is aimed at the one truth of God, as was Pilate. In reality, the world, apart from grace, is anti-truth, anti-God's truth. And so would we, except for that wondrous grace. Everyone that is of the truth, said Jesus, that is born of the truth, heareth my voice. Return to the truth. Our first sermon on that subject, what is truth? You note with me in the text that the word truth is mentioned three times. Verse 38, the truth is rejected. In verse 37, the truth is revealed, and in verse 37, the truth is received. Jesus, as I said, is standing in the early hours of Friday morning before the civil judge, the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate. Jesus is the Son of God. He had just said to Pilate, I came into the world. Pilate is astute. He understood. I came is more than just saying I was born. I existed before I came into the world. Before the world was created, I existed. I was sent in the flesh. Jesus, the Son of God, has come into the world through the flesh of the Virgin. I came to testify of the truth of God, the truth of salvation, God's own truth, and by that we understand the entire truth of salvation in Jesus Christ. So before Pilate is the embodiment, in the flesh meant, of God's truth, as we read in Colossians chapter 1. He is the fullness. When they saw Jesus, they saw the fullness of God's truth. Pilate represents the world. The highest development of the world to that day. And in a sense, we may say, man has never gone higher than what Pilate's Roman society had gone. It was the world's justice. It was the world's sense of right and wrong. It was the Roman Empire at its height. Never was there a more stark, bold, chilling confrontation before God's truth and man. Later on, Pilate is going to say, behold the man. Yes, Pilate, before you is the truth. And God's truth is rejected by Pilate. What is truth? The issue that morning had come down to the identity and to the purpose of Jesus Christ on earth. That was the issue that Pilate and Jesus were talking about. From Matthew and Luke, we learn, it was not mentioned in John, that when they came to Pilate in the morning, one of the first things they said to Pilate was, He makes himself a king, Pilate. He thinks he's a king. This led Pilate to take Jesus into the judgment hall, verse 33, which is a more private room where he can have a private interrogation of Jesus. And the Lord answers his questions in a threefold way. He says to Pilate, "Yes, I am a king." He said to him, "My kingdom is not of the world." Pilate says, "So you're a king then?" Jesus says, "Yes." He's not trying to evade the question. "Yes, as you have said, I am a king. I am. But my kingdom is spiritual. It is not of this world, or my servants would fight. And finally, I was born to be a king. My kingdom is not something that I, as the Roman emperors, kill the man in front of them and take over. No, I was born. I was eternally born. I came into the world. I was born to be the kingdom, the king of this spiritual kingdom of God. I came from another realm, Pilate. Out of the ivory palaces, and now into this world of woe as the Son of God. He gave me a task to build a spiritual kingdom out of the spiritual ruins of this world to save a people in my own blood, and every one of them is going to hear my voice, for I am the truth." And Pilate, with disdain, turns on his heel, but gives him the quick one-liner to ridicule him. "What is truth?" He rejects it. He commits the sin of unbelief. His heart is as hard as a rock. This is total depravity. This is what total depravity is. It is to reject God's truth in Jesus Christ. Jesus explains. John 3, verse 18. "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are worked of God." Pilate's sin is unbelief. That's what unbelief is. And that sin of unbelief, of the rejection of God's truth in Jesus Christ, and remember now, Pilate has been drawn face to face with that truth. It has been shown to him. That truth of unbelief in those circumstances, when it is prolonged and when it is defiant, is the truth that leads to the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit that Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 12, a sin for which there is no forgiveness. It is to reject the truth in arrogance. It is to scorn the truth. It is to have faced the truth. It is to have known the truth, but to dismiss it. It is to dismiss it. It is to ridicule it. That's an important warning to you and me tonight. For the Scriptures teach repeatedly that the closer one stands to the truth, and then to reject it, the greater the damnation. The sin of Pilate is the mother sin. This is where sin begins, the rejection of God's truth. Romans 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth. Literally, who hold down the truth in unrighteousness. Paul is speaking of the truth revealed in the creation. Man knows that truth, but he suppresses it. For that which may be known of God is manifest in them. To suppress the truth, to hold it down, to ridicule it, as Paul goes on to explain in Romans 1:25, they change the truth. They know the truth. They know the truth revealed in creation. And today they do know, man does know, the truth of male and female. But they change that truth. This goes back to Genesis chapter 3, when Satan slithered onto the pages of human history. And when he came to the woman in Genesis 3 with an all-out assault on God's truth, he said, here were the words, yea, has God said? Oh, really? Is that what God said? He sneered at it. Because in his heart was the tornado, the swirling of his heart was, who is God that I should obey him? I will be God. I will determine myself what is right. That is the mother sin into which we have fallen, into which the human race has fallen. The point of departure for any person, for any church, for any society, is the rejection of God's truth. The rejection of the Scriptures, the rejection of God and His Son as the only salvation for man. Our society, as I was saying, rejects any idea of absolute truth and prides itself that absolute truth does not exist, and you better get used to it because that's the human condition. And our present society, behind that rejection of truth, is egotistical. And the church, as I said, is very anxious and desperate to stay in step with the thinking of the world and to have its beliefs harmonize and synchronize with this world. And therefore, the church will not say anymore, only Jesus, only God, only grace, only Scripture, only. That's the truth. This is the truth. The Christian truth is the truth God revealed. The church says, and the world says, we're freed from that. We don't need that. Each person, each circumstance, each culture may define the truth. But as I said, it's not because they want to embrace no truth. It's because the spirit of man is anti-truth, anti-God. That's what's under it. Psalm 2, the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers of the nations take counsel together against the Lord and against His Christ. John 15, verse 9, if ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but because I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. It hated me before it hated you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. heart of man is being exposed in this snapshot. The truth stands before Pilate, and he turns on his heels in a proud ridicule. What is truth? Jesus is truth. God's Son is truth for man, for this world, the only possible truth. Jesus is the saving truth. To this end, that is, for this purpose, was I born. And for this cause, that is, this reason, for this reason came I into the world, that I should bear witness, that I should give a sworn testimony from God to the truth. Jesus Christ is truth. The word truth is reality. Truth is how things really are. Truth is how it is. It's the reality. Truth, boys and girls, is the opposite of lie. A lie distorts what's real, what really happened. Truth is real. This is really the way it is. This is how things are. God is truth. The God of the Bible, our God, is reality. Truth is God, whoever was eternal, whoever is, and whoever shall be. He is the God of truth. He is the reality that every soul in the whole world must deal with. He is the one true and the only living God. He remains God. The reality is our God. I am that I am. I shall ever be all that I am. He is holy and just and eternal and merciful and all-powerful. That's the truth. He created the world and all that is in it for his Son, Jesus Christ. That's the truth. He saved the church in the blood of his own Son on Calvary's Hill. That's the truth. That's the reality. That's reality. Everything else is deception, is a lie. God is the truth. Jesus said, I came to bear witness to the truth of God. But when he says that I came to bear witness to the truth, he means more than just I came to be a teacher of God's truth. He did teach God's truth. All that I heard of my Father, I have made known. They all had to testify of the gracious words that he spoke. He faithfully and beautifully taught God's truth. But he doesn't mean that. He means, I am the testimony of God's truth. I am the embodiment of the truth. This is what John, under inspiration, is teaching us in the book of John. Remember the beginning words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I said earlier, Jesus is the truth of God embodied in the flesh. Jesus is the sworn testimony to the truth of God. Jesus reveals to us the justice of God, that sin against his holy presence must be paid. Jesus reveals the mercy of God, that rather than we should perish, God will give his Son in our place. Jesus is the truth of God's salvation, of his eternal plan of salvation. Hear these words. John 17, verse 3, Jesus, "And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." That's the truth. Eternal life, if you are to live, if your soul is to live on earth, and when you die, if you are to live, you must know God, gracious Father in Jesus, and his Son, Jesus Christ, your Lord and your God, whose words are faithful and true in the Bible, your Savior. That's the truth. There is no other truth. All else is lie. That's the truth. That truth of God, and I say now these next 5 points on your outline, or I say this next section in the sermon, especially for the sake of college students in Christian colleges or wherever you're going to college, I say this for all the young adults, especially, and I say this for all the young people. I make these points from that. And these are very, very important points from the Scriptures. That means that God's truth, Jesus Christ, is divine. Truth is divine in origin. Jesus said, "I was born and I came from God to testify of the truth." Truth does not originate in man. Truth does not find its origin on earth. Truth is not going to be made by this world. Truth is not going to be discovered by mankind. Truth will not be invented by our society. Truth will not be found on a college campus of itself. Truth comes down from heaven in God, in Jesus Christ. God is the author of truth. God and his word determines. God and his word judges. God and his word is the standard. God has a monopoly on truth. All that is consistent with the Word of God and the mind of God, for the Scriptures are the mind of God, all that is consistent with the being of God is truth. Creation is as God says it is. Sexuality is as God says it is. Sin is what God says it is. Human life is to be what God says it is. Marriage is what God says it is. Salvation is what God says it is. Romans 3, verse 4, "Yea, let God be true, and every man a liar." One word from God is of more importance than a million pages that men would write. Number 2, truth is absolute. God's truth is perfect. He is true and without iniquity. He's complete. He's pure. He's free from error. Truth must be absolute. It must be perfect, or it's not true. And so we read Titus chapter 1, verse 2, that Paul, who was made a preacher of the truth which is of God, who cannot lie, he cannot lie. His truth is absolute, that is, it is authoritative. God's truth is the end of debate. God's truth settles the issue. God's truth is not a feeling, it is a fact. God's truth is propositional. God's truth can be stated, it can be confessed. God's truth is not a feeling that an age has. It is not an opinion. Well, we used to think this way. That is not God's truth. God's truth is not a bowl of jello, vague and speculative and fuzzy. God's truth is razor sharp. God's truth is exact. God's truth is clear cut. It is absolute. God is true. God's truth is immutable. It does not change. Forever settled in the heavens, thy word, O Lord, shall surely stand. From age to age, it is the same. God does not change. Therefore, God's truth in Jesus Christ does not change. Truth, God's truth is the foundation of his throne. The pillars of his throne are fixed on truth alone. God's immutable truth holds up his throne. It is consistent. It does not waver. Right, as God says is right, remains forever right. Wrong, as God says it is wrong, remains forever wrong. Society changes. Society redefines. The church tries to reinvent. The church tries to be relevant. Radical movements come and go. Definitions are made of sexuality. God's truth is eternal. God's truth transcendent. From eternity to eternity, the same. God's truth is powerful. It possesses the power of God himself. Think of Romans 1, verse 6, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Jesus Christ, the truth of God as Savior, as only Savior, as he stood Pilate, who haughtily turned his heels on him, this truth of Jesus Christ, which is preached to you through sinful lips, this truth is powerful to save your soul tonight through all eternity. The truth that is declared will save you. The truth in Jesus will save you. Will save you eternally. It washes away, it assures us that our sins are washed away. The word power in the New Testament is dynamite. God's truth, when you know it, explodes in your heart. It demolishes error. It makes rubble out of man's theories. It lays waste to our sinful pride. It convicts, it cleanses, it saves. Or truth leaves without excuse and damns. God's truth is determinative. It determines everything about your life. Do you know in your heart, by grace, God's truth in Jesus Christ, His Son? This will determine everything about your whole life. This determines whether you are a Christian. This determines whether you will have peace or not. This determines whether you have joy, eternal joy, or not. This determines whether you will go to heaven or not. One day you will stand before God as Pilate stood before Jesus, and we will be judged by the truth revealed in Jesus. The truth of Jesus, which we know by grace savingly, leads to eternal life. When we don't follow that truth of God in Jesus Christ, when we don't follow that truth, when we vainly follow lie, whatever you want to call it, it's a lie. When we don't follow truth, we fall. Truth is our friend. It leads us to salvation. Why did Pilate reject it? Why don't men believe it? The Son of God stood in front of him. The fullness of grace and truth. Why didn't he believe it? Jesus makes a staggering statement. Everyone, no exceptions, that is of the truth, that means born of the truth, everyone who is begotten by the power of God in his truth, hears my voice. There's only one way to know its truth. God must reveal it to you. We must be born of that truth. Jesus. Jesus Christ. Today must open the hearts of men and women, boys and girls, to believe the truth. Those who are sovereignly regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit, whose blind eyes are opened, whose head is humbled, whose hard heart is softened, whose closed ears hear. He that is born of God hears my voice. That voice of Jesus is not an audible voice whispering through the wind, a mystic experience. No, the voice that he's referring to, here's my voice, is something more dramatic, much louder than any of that. It is the inward saving call of Jesus Christ in your heart, so that when the truth of Jesus is made known to you, as you read the Bible, as you pray, as you sit under the preaching, as your catechism or Bible study, as you read your Bible, it's the inward voice of Jesus into our hearts, into that heart that he made, whereby we hear his voice. My sheep hear my voice, and I know, and they follow me. Jesus says there will be a reception of truth. Despite how it looks tonight, despite how the world advances in its boldness and arrogance against God's church, presses upon God's church, begins to bully God's church. Despite how, in sadness, much of the church drifts away from the truth of the Bible and seeks to appease the world. Despite how we might say sometimes we should throw up our hands, it's impossible. Jesus says, all who are born by me, by my word of truth, they shall hear my voice. They shall know the truth, and the truth will make them free. Jesus said in John 8, verse 43, to the Jews who were rejecting him, why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye do. He abode not in the truth. Because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. He that is of God heareth God's words. You therefore do not hear them, because you are not of God. He that is born of God heareth God's words. Apart from rebirth, we could not hear. Not just a learned college professor on a campus apart from Jesus Christ can't hear. Not just gay rights movement can't hear. Not just Muslim can't hear. But vile sinners like you and me could not hear. But God be praised. God be praised. We have been born by the Spirit of truth. Do you hear Jesus? You do not turn from him then with proud disdain and derision, but we fall at his feet. We confess him, the faithful and the true witness, the truth of God. We want to speak the truth in this world, in love. We want to hold forth that truth as the only light in this world. We don't want to be silent about it. We want to confess this truth. Jesus Christ, before this world, we want to walk in the truth. We want the church to be a pillar and ground of the truth. We want these words from the prophet to be said of us. Blessed is he that is blessed by the God of truth, and blessed is he that sweareth by the God of truth. Amen. We thank thee for the Holy Scriptures. We thank thee for our Savior. Oh, that always thy word is spoken in weakness. We ask for the promised Spirit of truth. We pray that that truth of God may be revealed to our hearts, that we may stand in that truth and find our comfort in this. In Jesus' name. Amen. Two 233.